together. Let's open our Bibles tonight in the book of Judges in the chapter 16. 16th chapter of the book of Judges. Follow the reading of God's precious and God's infallible word, commencing, that is in Judges 16, commencing to read at verse number 15. Let's follow the reading of God's infallible truth. And Delilah said unto Samson, "How canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me with these three times, and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth." And it came to pass that when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that he told her all his heart, and said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the Lord of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he has showed me all his heart." Then the Lord of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. We end our reading there, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Keep your Bibles open. We'll bow our heads in prayer. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy precious word this evening. I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will take of thy word and write it upon the hearts of each and every one that's gathered in this house. We praise thee, our God, for this campaign, and we pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou will take thy precious word and bring precious souls to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for what thou hast already been doing. But, O God, we pray that thou will continue to work and by thy Holy Spirit draw precious souls afresh to Christ. Hear and answer our prayer, for we pray in Jesus' precious name and for his sake and glory. Amen. When you come to the Word of God, friend, you find that the Bible is the greatest storybook of them all. The Bible recalls, of course, not only real history, but the lives of real people, just like you and just like me. We read about Abram, the friend of God. We read about Enoch, who walked with God. We read of Daniel, who talked with God. We think of Gideon, who fought for God. We think of Elijah, who stood for God. We think of Jonah, who ran from God. We think of Joseph, who lived for God. But friend, tonight I want us to look at another character in the Word of God found here in the book of Judges. Now I want you to set this scene in context, first of all, what was happening in the land of Israel. The sad reality was that during the years that followed the death of Joshua, there repeated a cycle of events in Israel. Sad to say, Israel turned its back on God and walked in the path of sin and fell into sin. And because of that sin, we find that God sent judgment. Yes, oppressors came, and they oppressed the children of Israel, and it took them indeed into bondage, as it were, and my oppressed them. Because of their sin, God sent judgment. Because of that oppression, we find that once again, Israel lifted up his heart and cried unto God and asked God to deliver them. And in the midst of their pain and their suffering, they cried to God for deliverance. And then God did. God sent deliverance to his people. But the sad reality was this, that that cycle of events didn't happen once or twice or three times or even four times, but it went on, and I think in the book of Judges, eight times, that sad cycle of events, how Israel fell into sin, God's judgment came upon them, then in their pain they cried out unto the Lord, and then God sent a deliverer. And we find here in this book of Judges a character who became a judge in Israel. His name is Samson. I believe that Samson is one of the saddest stories that you could find about a young man who had real privileges. And yet the sad reality is this, is Samson's life went wrong. You say to me, well, what were the privileges that Samson had? Well, let me tell you what Samson had, friend. He was brought up in a godly home. He had the privilege of having a godly father and mother. In actual fact, it was the angel of the Lord that came to Samson's mother before he was ever born and was told that God would give her a son. And through him, God would begin to deliver Israel. Of course, she told it to her husband. And whenever she told it to her husband, Manoah, he cried out unto God and he asked God. He says, God, you're going to give me a son. You're going to give us a son. How are we going to bring him up? And so he left his child in the hands of God. He earnestly, even before Samson was born, friend, he was prayed for. And I believe that there are young people in this meeting tonight. And that's exactly true of you, because even before you were born, from the moment that mother knew that she was expecting, that godly woman prayed, oh God, give me a child that will know and love the Lord and walk in the ways of God. And God guided them. And God told them that no razor was to come upon his head, because he was to be a Nazarite unto the Lord. Samson's name means sunny. And in actual fact, that was true, because at his birth and after his birth, he brought real sunshine into the home, not only into his family, but into the land of Israel. Because let me tell you, it was a dark period in the history of Israel, and God sent the sunshine of this young man. You know what the Bible says? That is, God blessed him. And friend, tonight, listen, if you're brought up in a godly home, you are richly blessed. Because you have the opportunity from your earliest days of knowing the ways and the things of God and to know God's way of salvation. But let me tell you this, my friend. Just because Samson was brought up in a godly home, just because, my friend, the Bible says God blessed him, just because his parents prayed for him, did not mean, with all of those privileges, did not mean that Samson would be a rich blessing and used of God mightily for the glory and the honor of the Lord. Because the sad reality is this, if a young man or a young woman brought up in that godly home rejects the Lord, then, my friend, God will step in. You know, the fuller the cup, the more easy it is to spill the contents. And here was a young man, and he had a cup that was full of privilege and opportunities for God. But what a tragedy. What a tragedy. Go with me, please, first of all, to Judges chapter 14. In Judges 14, it says, and Samson went down. Now notice, my friend, that's exactly, those words are repeated over again concerning this young man. Samson went down. With all the privileges he had, he went down. He went down to Timnah. And there he saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and he told his father and his mother, and he said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. The end of verse number 3, it says, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Didn't care what God had got to say. Didn't matter that this was a woman, a young woman of the Philistines. The Philistines were the avowed enemies of the people of God. But my friend, that didn't count. That didn't matter. He said, I've seen a woman. Mom, Dad, I have seen a woman. Get her for me, because she pleases me. And is it not true that many a young lad has gone wrong? He has professed faith in Christ and even gone on with God, and yet he has got his eyes upon an unconverted young woman. And although the word of God says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, he has disobeyed the Lord. And from that day he started to go down because he had to compromise. He couldn't be that bright shining light for God anymore because the young woman he had set his eyes upon did not love the Lord, did not desire the things of God. And so he started to compromise. And do you know what happens? You go down. And I want to warn you here tonight, if you are a child of God tonight, young man or young woman, if you are a child of God and profess faith in Christ, let me tell you what God says. Two cannot walk together except they be agreed. And I want to say, dear child of God, don't look to the world for your companion for life. Because she will want one thing and you say you want the other. And vice versa, if it's a young lady here tonight. Listen to what God says. Listen to what God warns. And follow the ways of God. But here's a young man, friend. Let me tell you. He says, get her for me because she pleases me. She pleases me. And friend, let me tell you, he did get her, but you'll read the story and you'll find it was a broken marriage. It ended in disaster. There was not this happy home. Yes, she pleased me, but there came a day whenever that pleasing finished. I'll go on down the rest of the chapter. Look at verse 20. But Samson's wife was given to her companion whom he had used as his friend. What tragedy. Disobeyed God. He was brought up in a godly home, but now he walks not in the ways of God, friend, but the marriage ended in heartache. You know why? Because you can't defy God and prosper. Then go on to the chapter 15, and you'll find in the chapter 15, Samson disregards the warnings of God. You know, Samson was a young man. He was the strongest young man that there was of that day. And Samson became self-confident in himself. He was the one that, nobody could break him. He was better than the rest. He didn't really need God. But you go on down the 15th chapter, and it says in verse 18, it says, and he was sore athirst and called on the Lord and said, thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised. He found out he wasn't so self-sufficient at all, friend. He found out he needed God. There came a day when he needed God, friend, and here was this big lad. But now he said, I'm going to die of thirst. And he had to depend on God for deliverance. Yes, God warned him. But he just pushed those warnings aside. Come to chapter 16 quickly. And whenever you come to chapter 16, go to verse number 1. Then went Samson to Gaza and saw there a harlot and went in unto her. And here we find that Samson once again is playing with sin. And because that he was so strong and he was so mighty in himself, listen, he thought that he could play with sin and get away with it. And yet we find what a heartbreaking story is the story of Samson. Because sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will keep you longer than you want to stay. Sin will cost you more. Remember this. Sin will cost you far more than you ever wanted to pay. And you might think it's just pleasurable and you're enjoying your sin, but remember there's a price for it. And when you read the story of Samson, friend, listen, he went to Gaza. And to go to Gaza, once again, he had to go down. You say, can Samson go any further? Yes, he did. He went down to Gaza, and there he saw a harlot. Gaza was an evil city. It was again a Palestine city. Philistine city, the enemies of God. Do you know what he thought he could do? He thought he could go into the enemy camp and get out. Just live as he wanted to live. And many young people think that tonight. I can live just as I want to live. I can do what I want to do. Let me tell you this, my friend. When you place yourself in the way of temptation, you set yourself to fall. When you put yourself, as Samson did, Samson put himself in the way of temptation. He went down to Gaza, and there the devil had a harlot. Here's this young man, prayed for, wept over, God blessed. Where is he? He's lying with a harlot in Gaza. I wonder, did he think about the heartache he was bringing to his loved ones, to his family? Many ways, perhaps he didn't care. But he went down. Some years ago, a young lady, and she was a professing child of God, and she fell in love with this young lad who wasn't saved. She thought she could take her stand and do the things that are right, and she wouldn't go places he wanted her to go until the peer pressure came upon her. Even her friends would say, you know, you don't have to be so pig-headed. You should be able to go with him. Friend, it was no sooner that one night he took her to the disco and then to the bar, to the club. She was standing there in the midst of the disco and the club, and as she was just sitting there, just a thought came into her. Because she knew her dad didn't know and her mom didn't know that she was there. She thought she loved her father. And she turned to the young man and she said to him, she says, John, I shouldn't be here. I can't stay anymore. And so she got up and she was walking out, and some of her friends were saying to her, where are you going, Mary? She says, I'm going home. One of her friends laughed and said, I suppose you're afraid of your father hurting you if he hears where you are. She turned to her friend and she said this, no, I'm not afraid of Daddy hurting me, but I'm afraid of hurting him. Friend, I ask you this, child of God, do you be in places where you're hurting the Lord? You're hurting your testimony. Your testimony that you had for God one day. And my, you're leaving it in pieces. Here's Samson. Blessed of God, prayed over. And now he's lying in Gaza. You know, he thought that he could go there into the enemy camp and never get caught. You read the story. And you find that as he was lying there with that harlot, the Philistines encamped around him. They were lying in wait for him. They were surrounding him. They had trapped him in. But Samson didn't feel it. No, no. He didn't feel trapped. But he was. They were lying in wait all night, the Bible says. In verse number 2, they laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city and were quiet all night. You know what they said? In the morning, when it's day, we shall kill him. We'll kill him. And there he was lying in the arms of a harlot woman. And he didn't realize that there were those around him ready to kill him. Let me tell you, dear soul, tonight. The devil wants to destroy you. Don't you think he's your friend? The devil has one plan for every unconverted person in this meeting, and that is to take you where he is. That's to hell. He has one plan for you. Don't think he's your friend.
for he's out to damn you.
And yet men and women, let me tell you, when they're licking and licking the devil's milk, they don't realize the plan that Satan has for them. My, they don't think that they'll get caught. No, no, that's what others do, but not me.
You know, when the devil tempts a young person to lift that glass for the first time and takes that glass of booze, and my, perhaps you walk past the bar and you hear the tinkle of the glasses and you hear the laughter and you hear the singing and all the rest of them. That's the picture. That's the place for you to be. Because look at the laughter. Look at the fun they're having, friends. Let me tell you, the devil doesn't tell you about the shattered lives. Devil doesn't tell you about the broken homes. Devil doesn't tell you about the broken bodies that are scattered across the highway of time. Devil doesn't tell you about the shattered dreams and the broken families and the broken hearts and the wasted years. No. Why? Because if he told you that, you say, I'm a fool. I'm a fool to listen to. But you see, friends, sin's deceitful. And there he was lying, and when it was day, we shall kill him. But we're going to move on from that part of the story, friend. But listen to me carefully. It was only God's grace that allowed him to get away from that situation. It was only God's grace. And once again, the Lord was good to Samson in preserving his life. God was merciful. And let me tell you, dear unconverted person in this meeting tonight, God has been merciful to you to this very night. You could be in hell tonight, but God's kept you out of it. God's merciful. There's young people here, and you can remember others that sat beside you at the desk at school, walked into the same classroom, sat in the same lessons, and they're not here anymore. They're out in eternity, but God has spared you. That's the mercy of God. But I warn you tonight, don't you think you can throw that mercy and that grace and that love back in God's face and prosper? For sin will take you further than you ever wanted to go. Well, you say to me, preacher, God's been good to Samson. He's watched over him. He's kept his hand upon him. He's preserved him. Surely he has learned the lesson. But the sad reality is no. No.
Surely he's at the bottom of the pit. Surely he can go no further.
But friend, the answer is no. Turn with me in the passage of God's word. Go to verse number 4 of chapter 16. It says this: and it came to pass afterwards that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Now he's going deeper. He's going into the valley. Listen, my friend. Surely, he's been taught the lesson of what sin will do. But no. What took him there? Look at it. He loved a woman. He loved a woman. And this is the third woman in his life. And every one of these women were Philistine women of the nation that was the enemy of God. He loved her. She actually touched his heart. She touched his heart. He loved her. But not only did he love her, friend, he trusted her. Verse number 17, it says, he told her all his heart. But there was a problem. She didn't love him. She didn't love him. See, this was not of God. This love relationship wasn't of God. And yes, he loved her. But when you read the story of God's word, my friend, here was a woman. She did not love him. Look at verse number 5. The lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him. My, if she loved him. Would you want to afflict him? And you know what they promised? Look at verse 5. And we will give thee, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. You see, she didn't love him. She loved the money. She loved what he could bring. And in actual fact, what all he was, humanly speaking, her lottery ticket to money. And that's all she cared about. She was told to entice him. And the word there means to act like an innocent person in order to deceive someone. And Delilah reaches out her arms and she pulls Samson to her breast. And she says, Samson, I love you. I love you. But it was a deception. And friend, let me tell you, the devil tells you, listen, to love your sin, friend. And my, you will enjoy it. You will have pleasure. Now, the pleasures of sin, yes, there are pleasures in sin. But always remember this, as Moses said, the pleasures of sin were only for a season. You know, Samson was asked 3 times what the secret was. He didn't tell her. And then she asked the 4th time. Why did he not tell her, friend? Well, I believe, let me tell you, in many ways, Samson was ashamed to tell her. Because the time he told her, he says, you know these locks? From my birth I have been a Nazarite unto the Lord. Remember, she was a Philistine. What was he doing in her arms? For the Philistines hated the children of Israel. He was ashamed. What was he doing in Sorek? His hair was the symbol of his commitment to God, that Nazarite vow. And then finally, he told her all his heart. And whenever he told her, she sent for the enemy and she said, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Verse 18. And they brought money in their hand. She got her payoff. And then she says, Samson, come and lie on my lap, friend. My love. And he lays his head down on Delilah's lap and he falls asleep. She strokes his face. I love you, Samson. And he fell asleep. And one of the Philistines came up and they shaved off the 7 locks of his head. And it said she began to afflict him. She lied to him. She lied to him. And let me tell you, the Lord Jesus said concerning the devil, he's a liar. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a liar. In John's Gospel, chapter 8, verse 44, and the devil will promise you happiness. And the devil will promise you pleasures. And the devil will promise you all these things. But remember this, for every one of the sins that you commit, there's a price to be paid. But he never tells you that. And there lying on Samson lying on Delilah's lap, he had the most expensive haircut that a soul could ever pay, because his strength was taken from him. I want to show you something just as we bring this message to its concluding part. Look at verse 21. And there are three things I want you to notice. And the Philistines took Samson, and they brought him down to Gaza, and they bound him with fetters. The binding power of sin. You notice that over and over again, when he was in this relationship, the word bind and bound comes in. She bound him with the withes. She bound him with the ropes. Yes, she put in, indeed, that pin in his locks. If thou weavest the seven locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin, verse 14. But she was binding him. And now they bind him with fetters of brass and took him away. What was the problem, friend? Here was the strongest man that ever lived, and yet he's bound. He's a captive. He thought he couldn't be bound. He thought he would never be caught. He thought he would never be taken by the Philistines. My time after time, he walked away. He was preserved and he got bold. They will never be able to do this. I will never be caught. How many is a man who's lifted that first glass of drink, friend, and he's been warned about alcohol, and he said, I'll never be an alcoholic. But let me tell you, you remember every alcoholic that has ever walked the streets of Ulster, he started with the first glass. But he promised himself he would never be caught. I remember years ago when I was recording, I went to Nashville. I remember I was walking down the street of Nashville. I was just finished the recording. I was about to leave to come home the next day, and I prayed that God would give me an opportunity to speak to someone about their soul. As I was walking and praying, suddenly this voice spoke to me and said to me, Are you a Christian? I looked, there was an old, dirty man sitting at the side of the street, just a real tramp. The stinking coat upon him. And I looked at that person and he was drunk, and he pointed the finger again and says, Are you a Christian? I said, yes, I am. And then he said these words to me. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Another scripture verses. And as he said it, friend, the tears were running down his cheeks. And I said to him, friend, you seem to know the scriptures. And that old tramp sitting at the side of the street on Nashville Main Street, friend, and the only friend he had was a wee dog sitting beside him. And this is what he said. He said, I used to be a Baptist pastor in this city. And he says, there's only friend I have. Now, I don't know the full story, my friend, but this I do know this. That he who once stood to preach the gospel of redeeming grace had walked away from the Lord and gone into such a state. I said, where do you live, friend? He says, I live in the down and outs home. Sin will take you further than you want to go. The binding power of sin. The binding power. There used to be a place in Scotland, it was the Tent Hall in Glasgow. I used to go there quite often, and I preached a mission. In actual fact, I preached the last mission in the Tent Hall before they sold it and closed the doors. But I remember on a Sunday morning, we would go there, and they would have, for those down and outs of the streets of Glasgow, they'd bring them an early hour of the morning, and they'd bring them off the streets, and they'd have given them a little bag of food, and then they would have tea or coffee. But before they could get this, they had to sit and listen to a gospel message, and I was brought to preach. After I preached the word and was sitting there, and Pastor Castles was up with me, he said to me, Mr. McRae, he says, William, look, he says, you see that person down there? That was a doctor. You see her there? She's a teacher. And different professionals, and friend, let me tell you, where were they now? They're in Skid Row. I watched them as they walked out of the Tent Hall, and whenever they came to a rubbish bin, I saw them just rambling through the rubbish bin to lift a butt, to smoke a butt. And yet many of them were professionals. And yet the devil took them further than they ever expected to go. Don't play with sin, friend, and think that it'll never happen to you. The devil's a liar. You are not stronger than Samson. Samson never intended, as a young man, whenever he was being brought up in his home and mother called him, Samson, you're my sunshine. Little did you know the heartache and the heartache that you would bring to that home. The binding power of sin. But very quickly, look at verse 21. And the Philistines took him and put out his eyes. There's the blinding power of sin. Do you notice that's what Samson lamented more than anything else? The loss of his eyes. Chapter 16, look at verse 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And now he's blind. The blinding power of sin. Now the devil doesn't paint sin like that, friend. No, the glistening lights. He bedazzles the brain. He robs the young person of its power to think straight. The bars, the nightclubs. You notice most of them have dimmed lights. But if you look close enough, you see the pain they bring. And sin blinds you, and the devil blinds you to the beauty of the Savior. And the devil blinds you to your need of salvation, and the devil blinds you to the corruption of your heart, and the devil blinds you to the awfulness of your sin. And they put out his eyes. He went into blackness. What was his name? Sonny. Sunshine. And the day he died, friend, he saw nothing. Devil never thought he would go that way, did he? Never thought that whenever he went in onto that woman, Delilah, never thought that when he laid down his head upon her lap and she stroked his brow and his hair and said, I love you, Samson. It was all a lie. And the devil's a liar, friend. And he blinds your eyes to what your sin's doing, because your sin's taking you down the road that surely will land in hell. Turn with me just 1 second to the book of Proverbs. And in the book of Proverbs, turn just a wee chapter over there. Proverbs chapter 23. Chapter 23. Here's a father speaking to his son. Verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow pit. For she also lieth in wait as for a prey, and increaseth the transgressors among men. You could write that over Samson's life. Verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds? Who hath without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Verse 32. At the last, it biteth like a serpent, and it stingeth like an adder. You see, when that young lad lifts up that wine, that lass, and it seems to just look so lovely, promises so much. But remember, the devil's blinding you to the pain it'll bring. Here's the last thought. Verse 21, Judges 16. And the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. The grinding power of sin. Think of it, friend. Here's a young man favored by God, and now he's standing grinding mill between the millstones. The task for a brute beast. It was the hardest, lowest kind of slave labor. And yet he was brought up in a loving, godly home. Remember, there's a young man here tonight. And friend, you know there's not a night passes, but there's a woman or a man, your loving father and mother, and they're on bended knees before God. And they're crying to God for the salvation of your soul. But you're in the highway of sin. It pleases you, just as that woman did to Samson. It breaks their heart. And here's Samson standing, grinding at the mill. You know, whenever, we'll just read this wee passage, verse 25, and it came to pass when their hearts were merry, as the Philistines, that they said, call for Samson, that he make us sport. He's a laughing stock. A laughing stock. And they called for Samson, out of the prison house. And he made them sport. And they set him between the pillars. Verse 28. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. God, remember me. You know, I think of Samson after the day doing the work of the brute beast. He sits down in an old dirty cell. He can't see a thing. His eyes are out. He's tired and he's weary. And he remembers what it used to be. He remembers a loving mother. He remembers a praying father. He remembers how he was blessed. How that for 20 years he had judged Israel. And yet he's now sitting in blindness, haunted with regret. I wish I could turn back the clock. But he can't. And down in hell tonight, there are multitudes of precious souls. And they regret the day they turned their back on God. They regret their sin. And every sin they loved, they hate it now. I wish you could go back. I wish you could hear the gospel again. I wish you could stand and hear my praying mother and my praying father. But it's too late. Too late. But God was merciful to Samson. And Samson cried, "Oh Lord God, remember me this once." And God heard his cry. And thank God there's the finding power over sin. For I'm glad that Samson didn't die in defeat. He died in victory. And I asked you a question. Time's away. How will you die? The Lord Jesus said to a people one day, John's Gospel records it. Jesus says, "I go my way. Yes, I've been with you. I've spoken to you. I've healed your sick. I've given sight to your blind. Even raised the dead. Yes, I've been here." But he says, "I go my way. And ye shall seek me. But you'll not find me. But you'll die in your sin. And where I am, you can't come." Is that your end, friend? Shut out from God and shut up in hell. In the blackness and darkness forever. Thank God you can be saved from sin. Thank God the Lord can forgive you your sin. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. And if you come to Christ, your sins and iniquities, says God, I'll remember no more. But they'll blot them out. Put them away under the blood. Let's pray.